podcast viewfinder.
Dad, you've protected me all your life. Now it's my turn to protect you. There's life with you, not with me. Don't come looking for me. I'm safe. I'm fine. Hey everyone, I'm Chris.
And I'm James.
And welcome to Podcast Viewfinder, episode 25.
25? That's a quarter of a century.
Yeah, if we did one a year, James would be 50.
I would be 50, and Chris would be even older.
I would be... whatever.
Can't even do the math.
I can't. It's that old. So, hey, this is Podcast Viewfinder, where we talk about worldview. We talk about the things that are in our world. News, articles, movies, music, pop culture. And we talk about, like, the worldviews that they push and what they're trying to sell, if you will.
Yeah.
And so, but hey, first of all,
we have a cool announcement.
Congratulations.
Yeah. To
Benjamin Miller.
Usually when you say congratulations, there's usually, like, some big news behind it. So what is...
So, Benjamin Miller, you won the auction. So there was... We were part of an auction.
Yeah.
To benefit the Evansville Christian Life Center. It's a local... charity that fights poverty and does a lot of cool stuff in our community. And so they had an auction and we were one of the, what are those things called? One of the items? I don't know. On the auction. There's like a stock?
Yes.
One of the, whatever they are. Lots. One of the lots in the auction. And so, so you could have auctioned to be on our show. And
yeah.
So Benjamin Miller won and he is the director of Camp Ileana, which is a camp that I grew up going to, and we're going there for our fall retreat. So I'm really excited to talk to him because I love Camp Ileana. Camp Ileana's my jam.
I can't wait.
So I don't know when that's going to happen. He hasn't contacted us yet. So
yeah, so, maybe he made a mistake.
Yeah, he's like, I bid on the wrong one.
Oh,
so,
man, I wanted the one below it.
Oh, what? I had to do that? No, he was excited. He put something on Twitter. So Benjamin Miller, congratulations. Thanks for listening. So yeah, so that's going on.
Very cool.
We've got a lot of stuff to talk about today.
We do.
I'm excited. Should we just get into it, or do we need to talk about it?
I was going to talk about Benjamin Miller a little more. Because, you know, when you said congratulations, usually when you're like, oh, congratulations, you're like, what could he mean, right? I mean, pregnant. But then I was like, that can't happen, because Benjamin...
is a guy's name, typically.
Typically, yeah. So, like, maybe he got a new job. But then it was this, so it actually made my day.
Oh, sorry. I wasn't supposed to say what it was yet.
What?
I don't know. Wait. You're like saying weird stuff. So, no, today's show might be a little shorter on, who knows. We always say that.
We're going extra long today.
It's
going
to be 20 hours. All right, so, James, this week I watched a movie. You watched a movie this week, too.
I did.
Let's talk about the movies we watched this week. I watched my movie alone, but I was at my house. You went to the theater.
I was in the theater in the middle. Myself. There were like five people above me.
So last week we talked about going to see it, and I didn't get an opportunity to.
Yeah.
But my sister, who was on the show last week, Adrian, she went and saw it with her boyfriend, and then you went and saw it by yourself.
Oh,
so,
she watched the same movie?
Not at the same time. Like, she went that night.
She went
Monday.
To the Perfect Boyfriend.
Oh, gosh.
There are lots of people who went to that one. I saw them coming in and out.
So, so what'd you see?
I saw The Visit.
The Visit.
Yeah,
so
that's scary
the new
movie.
That's the new M. Night movie.
Yeah, it's really good.
Which, I like M. Night.
I had nobody to hold. Like, I was like, man, this is the worst, because here I am alone. It's a scary movie.
So I was supposed to go with you, but you went and saw it without me. So
no, I didn't go without you. You didn't show up. You stood me up on our date.
So here's the thing. We had a ministry event that night.
Uh-huh.
And
you said, hey, we're going to try to get done.
We're going to try to get done. And then you were supposed to show up at that ministry event and help me to leave early.
Uh-huh.
But nope, you didn't show up. So
I went to the place we were supposed
to
go.
Yeah, you went to the movie. So yeah, there were several other people who were going to go with us. And then nobody showed. James went to the movies alone, which he loves. That's how James lives his life.
I don't have any friends.
Going to the movies alone. I know. I was thinking about that. I was like, now who can I go with? Like, nobody wants to see this movie because it's scary.
Good. Now you know how I feel.
So was it scary?
Yeah. There's some jump moments.
So is it jump scary or is it like
there's some jump scary.
Terrifying
like,
scary.
Oh, man. It's not like 100%. I think there's some thriller parts or some suspense. Sorry, not thriller.
Yeah.
Where you're like, man, like I'm expecting something. And then you expect, and they get you in these moments. And because you let your guard down, they're like, oh, no, what? Ah!
That's how...
And then just creepy stuff. And you're like, what's going on? Like, what? There's more to this.
Yeah.
You know there's got to be more to this, and I can't really talk about much because you haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it. But like the movie What Lies Beneath, that was an older, I mean, like not older, like a couple years back, they made, it was Harrison Ford and I think Nicole Kidman. But in that movie, there's a lot of like moments that you thought were going to be jump moments because they like build the music, they're like, they build it up, and then nothing happens. And so, yeah, so then you're like, okay, and then something happens, and you're like, throw popcorn all over the seat. Yeah. So,
but,
wait, did I talk about my jump scare movie one time in here? I don't know. I'll tell it again real quick. So it was the worst movie ever, The Haunting. And it, like the reason I saw it, University of Evansville is a school in our town. They have a sister campus in England, in Harlingston.
And you were in England?
No, and they used the outside of that building in Harlingston, like in the outside shots of this movie because it's about this haunted house. So I was like, oh, cool, that historical. I don't know. I was in high school, so I thought it'd be fun. So
great.
Me and a couple friends went. My girlfriend at the time went as well. She's now my wife.
But, okay, I was
so,
like...
So we were in the theater, and there's this part where, like, there's this giant fireplace in this old creepy house. It's like a castle. And this girl's got a fire poker, and she's, like, sifting through the ashes. Well, there's a skull in there. So she's turning it over slowly, and then the skull just pops out, like this whole skeleton just jumps out and goes like, rah, like
what?
Jumps out at the camera. And I yelled, like, this is opening night, so it's like full house because everybody likes scary movies, whatever. And I just went, bah! Like super loud in the audience, like just yelled it.
Man.
So Angela had her like knees up on the seat, and so she just bashed her head into her knees. And then my friend Fred was there, and he like leaped out of his seat. Like they weren't scared about the movie; they were more scared that I yelled. And then everybody laughed really hard because I lost it, man. I like just like screamed like super loud at that movie. So did you yell? Like that'd be even more embarrassing. You're by yourself.
I'm by myself, and there's people in the very back. It's me in the fourth row, and everybody else is at the top up there.
So, do you think people sit back farther in scary movies because they're scared of what's going to happen?
I don't know.
All right. So what if there's like a worldview that this movie pushed, or there were some ideas or things that they talked about? Like, what were some themes that you're like, okay, they're kind of saying that this is how life is or how life functions? Or do you know the answer to that question, or is it just a.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, you gotta watch. I end up ruining it. I can't give you anything because it's too much information.
Oh,
I literally. Can't even tell you about the opening.
Oh,
right?
Okay, but I did hear this about the previews to that movie, because my sister told me this, that there is a Red Band trailer, which means it's like R-rated, yeah, basically an R-rated trailer.
Oh,
but it's before a PG-13 movie.
Yeah.
And it was for, like...
Different movie. I can't remember the movie, but I think it had some language and some maybe partial nudity.
Yeah, so should that happen in front of a PG-13 movie?
No, because it's Red Band. You have to be 18. Why that shouldn't have been placed there.
So why, is it just, like, why would they do that? Why do you think a theater?
Because they want to push that. I mean, obviously, the movie's got to have viewers.
I think,
that's how they make money. But like, oh, my mistake.
Yeah. So they, does the theater put that in front of it, or does the movie pick what trailers are in front of the movie?
I don't know.
Because I know that theater, I think they try to not do things like that, but if they have to, I don't know. That was just an interesting, because it's pushing this worldview.
Yeah.
Because PG-13, usually sometimes kids that are younger than 13 would go to that, and even if they're not 13, like...
Oh, yeah, as long as you have a parent, you can go to anything, except for, you can go to rated R with parental.
Yeah, with a parent.
Yeah.
So, I just thought it was interesting that they were trying to push...
Yeah.
That movie on like teens and that age group that the movie is designed for. So, okay. So the movie I saw this week was Maggie. It sounds like some movie like about a dog.
Yeah, it's more like, a really scary movie.
Maggie.
That could be a really scary movie.
The story of a girl and her dog as they make their way across the town. And then they go to the big city, and that's where James likes it, because he's like, it's about a city.
Dude, big cities are the best.
James's favorite movies involve a city. I don't know why. But, no, Maggie, it's Arnold Schwarzenegger and Abigail Breslin.
So is this old or new?
This is new. It came out this year. So I don't know if it went made to theaters or not. It's kind of an independent film, but it's a post-apocalyptic zombie movie.
What?
Yeah.
That sounds great.
Except it's really slow. So... This basically the zombie virus. What happens? It infects you, and it takes like four like 4 weeks, maybe.
Four weeks. I've seen this trailer.
Though. Like, yes. Maybe 2 months to like completely take over. And so basically all these people are infected and they're trying to like, they're working on a cure, but they don't have one. And so, so he goes, his daughter gets infected. She's like probably 13, 14.
Oh man.
And she gets infected. And,
are you giving
she's in high school. Right, she's like 15 or 16. No, you know this from like the opening thing. Like that line that I read, Daddy protected me all my life. That that opening quote was from Maggie. So she says, now it's my turn to protect you. So basically she left and then called him. Like she went to the city.
Oh, because she doesn't want to hurt him.
Yeah, because she knows in the end, like they turn.
Yeah.
Right? So he goes and finds her and brings her back. And so it's basically like a drama about how they're dealing with that. Because she has... So, like, her mom has passed away, and he's remarried.
Dang.
And they have two kids, so they send the kids away to the aunt's house to live. And so it's just this struggle between her and, like, the mom. It's just, it's kind of this, like, family drama almost, but it's just dealing with infection and disease and, like, trying to figure out, like, okay, at what point do we draw the line, right? Yeah. So the mom is, like... It's not her kid. So then the dad, like, that brings tension between them because he's like, well, you want to get rid of her because it's not your kid, really. And she's like, yeah. I mean, she's like, I loved her like my own. Like, don't put that on me. And so, and it's just this girl dealing with, like, teenage stuff, but at the same time, like, she knows she's about to die. Like, she doesn't have very much longer to live. And so she, like, kind of isolates herself from her friends, but her friends show up and, like, still want to be her friend. And it's about her and her. Kind of boyfriend, like they're off and on or whatever. It was really interesting because it's like this teenager dealing with struggles that regular teenagers have, but then also having like I'm gonna die on top of that. And I know it sounds like a Nicholas Sparks movie.
like zombies.
I got cancer. No, I got zombie disease. So, but yeah, so it was interesting. Like it's just this. Like, the tension comes from, is Arnold Schwarzenegger, in the end, going to kill his daughter, right? Because he knows she's going
to
turn.
And he doesn't want her to be like that.
Yeah, and so he's like, okay, what do I do in this situation? And so it was an interesting drama. Again, we're not pushing stuff on here. It was PG-13. There's maybe a few bad words, not much. And there was not, I mean, no sex, no... So, there is some, a little bit of gore. Like, it's not, like, people eating people, but it's, like her, like, you see the virus kind of taking over. And so, there is one kind of gross scene where she breaks her finger. And, like, it's kind of, it's yuck. But they don't really show, I mean, it was just interesting. It's an interesting movie because it makes you think about, like, how would I respond in this situation? Because, in that case, like, she knew, okay, I'm going to die in 2 weeks. And we don't know... when we're going to die. We could die in 2 weeks, but we don't know that, right? We don't like to think about our finality. And so the movie was kind of like making you think about, okay, what are you going to do in those last, like if you knew you were going to die within a few weeks, what are you going to do? Like what's going to be important? And I mean, Arnold Schwarzenegger goes out and like finds his daughter because he knows, hey, I want to be with you. Like I know she said, don't come looking for me. It was like, but you're my daughter. Like I know you might be a harm to me or whatever, but I want to make sure that we get to spend these last moments together. And so, it's pretty slow. I mean, it's a slow movie. It's just kind of her slowly turning into a zombie. And so there's a bit of tension there, but it was interesting. It was just it made me think a lot about, I mean, do I make the most of my life? Like, am I making the most of what I have or am I pushing people away? Because that was, that was the first thing she did. Like when she figured out that she was could be a harm to others or have this infection, she's like immediately like pushing others away saying, I'm not going to be a part of your life anymore. And her friends are like, no, we want you to be a part of our life.
Yeah.
So,
sounds like a good movie.
And then at the end, Arnold Schwarzenegger jumps in a helicopter and goes, get to the chopper! And then he just blows up America and flies to England. So, but yeah, it was interesting. It was slow, but it makes you think about life and stuff. And so, I kind of enjoyed it, but I don't think I'd watch it again. It was one of those, like, I'm glad I saw it, but never again. So, all right, hey.
It's time.
No, it's not.
Should we talk about something?
Yeah, what? Last week we talked about Apple products.
And yeah, so we didn't really get into this.
One of our listeners, Nicole, said it, because we talked about the Apple Pencil a little bit, like with the iPad Pro. So they made the iPad bigger, and they added a stylus, which they're calling the Apple Pencil. But one of our listeners, Nicole, thanks, Nicole, for listening. She sent in and said that something happened, like Steve Jobs was quoted as saying in 2010, if you see a stylus, they blew it. Steve Jobs. So this guy, this article is basically saying that Steve Jobs said, if you see a stylus, then, and Steve Jobs, if you don't know, is the founder of Apple. So he was saying, hey, if you find this stylus, like, then we've messed up.
Yeah.
And so now Steve Jobs is dead. And so he has no say in his company anymore. And so
not his company anymore.
It's not even, yeah, he's dead. You dead guys don't own companies. So
a whole nother subject for another episode.
Tell that to Walt Disney. So, but also all this stuff happens, right? Like, and they come out with this stylus that he had said, oh, and so this article is basically saying, well, Steve Jobs, I mean, a lot of people came out and were like, oh, Apple's losing it now, and they're coming out with this stuff.
They're chasing the market instead of leading it.
Yeah, but The Verge comes out and says, no, this stylus is not like anything we've seen before. And the reason Steve Jobs said that back in 2007.
The Verge or Wired?
The Verge said this.
Okay.
The Wired was the other article. But The Verge said, the reason that all this stuff is happening is because iPhone 1 was when he came out and said, nothing. He said, if you've seen a stylus, we blew it. Because that was the iPhone 1.
Yeah.
And so stuff has changed in the technological landscape.
Yes, it has.
And the stylus is also optional. So basically, it's more of an art tool. Like, if you're doing art design and stuff like that, then that's what it's designed for. And I was watching a video on it. It's really cool.
Yeah.
Because it detects pressure sensitive. So, like, whereas, I don't know if that happens in other technology, because I only care about Apple.
Wacom tablets and
Wacom tablets?
Yeah, Intrig and Wacom. They do a pressure sensitivity to.
But is theirs only an art tablet? Like, is theirs for design, or is there for everything?
Well, yeah, theirs are more for design. Well, like a Surface Pro uses Intrig technology. So there you go.
So, wait, so they have the pressure sensitive? So if you push harder with the pencil, it makes a harder mark or whatever.
Yeah, it's supposed to emulate a pen or pencil for writing and design.
Yeah. And so it showed, like, even like if you turn it on your side, it makes it a bigger mark and different things.
Yeah, and so that's pretty cool. When you can turn it on its side, it will follow that.
So, yeah, so, I mean, the videos is just people drawing stuff, but they designed this stylus to be a lot better than what styluses have ever been. Or there might be one on the market like it, I don't know, because I don't keep up with the stylus market. Because it's not Apple. You know, now that Apple puts one out, I'm like, oh, I care about it, so.
Yeah, now I'll buy it.
I'm a consumer to the max. Apple Pencil. So, So is Apple compromising their standards? Like, is this a thing where, like, we see, like, so, because I'm thinking about, like, there's an owner of a company or a visionary, a guy that's like, here's where we're going, here's what we're doing, and they've got all these great ideas and all this stuff, and then they get fired, they leave, they quit, they die, whatever happens, and then somebody else comes in, like, hey, what he said was great, we're going to continue in that way, but we're also going to do these things that he may not have liked. Because that's where we need to be. So Apple usually always has led the market, but now it seems like they are playing catch up.
Yeah, they are. We can look at examples like the iPad Mini, the Apple Watch, Apple TV.
But do they come out and make things better than the competition?
They say that.
Well, yeah, and I believe it because it's Apple. And they make cool videos about it.
Wait for the right timing, but I still think, the Apple Watch doesn't impress me at all more than any other watch. So...
Wow, James.
I know, right?
So, if you lived in the 1800s and you saw the Apple Watch, you're like, ah, that doesn't impress me.
Look at this timepiece.
I have a sundial.
A sundial.
When are those going to come back? The Apple sundial.
What about the Apple wheel?
You guys said, now that they've reinvented the stylus, are they going to reinvent the wheel?
How can we make this better? They are bringing out an electric car in 2019. So yeah,
Apple is?
Yeah, that's the rumor. Wall Street Journal.
Oh, I'm going to buy that.
I know, right? That'll probably cost a lot.
And then I steer it with my phone. I just turn my phone and it drives it, and I'm like, yeah! I'm the coolest guy ever!
No, it'll be automatic.
So
did they compromise?
Yeah, so...
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No.
I don't think so either. I think if Steve Jobs was around and people were like, hey, we need to go, this is a route, and here's why, and here's what we can do as Apple to make it an Apple product, and that's what they did. They called it the Apple Pencil, and it's...
Yeah.
And they make it... It's cool. I mean...
They brought out... I mean, what was the last product he was really involved with?
iPhone 5?
Was it the iPad?
Or 4?
I think it was the iPhone 5.
I don't know. The iPad?
But yeah, right, the iPad. He helped bring out the iPad.
Yeah.
You know, I think he would take on some of this stuff. And he wouldn't see it as a compromise because, again, like you and I were talking, times change, and over time as technology changes, like, you can't hold somebody back. I don't feel like that was a core statement that he said.
Okay, this is a good point. So if we're talking about worldview,
yeah.
When is it okay to compromise your worldview? So you say, okay, this was a core. So how do you decide the core versus the fringe stuff? So having a stylus isn't core to what Steve Jobs was about.
No, it wasn't. I mean, he would say core to simplicity. It should always be simpler to use, right?
Yeah.
So if you overcomplicate it, then you've missed it. And that's what the stylus would do. It would cause it to be more complicated because you're like, why do I need a, that doesn't make it easier to interact with this new phone. It makes it harder.
Right.
It's more of a pain than a pleasure.
And if I lose the stylus, then I'm not.
Yeah. Then I'm like, I've got my big fingers trying to hit these small, because he was really attacking. At that time, you had Windows Mobile, you had Palm, right? And those were all touch.
BlackBerry had a stylus, didn't it?
BlackBerry, I don't think did. Oh. Theirs was, they're known for their keyboard.
Oh, yeah.
And so, he felt like that isn't the best way to use it. I've got a better idea. You can use your thumb. It's multi-touch. And he got the vision off of not the tool, I think, but the core was simplicity. So he's like, how can I make... I mean, that's what they've always been known for, right?
Right.
Like, I can hand this to my grandmother, and she can use it. Not mine. She's dead. But
yeah,
even the simplest...
I can hand it to my grandmother, and she'd be like, witchcraft, and throw it in the trash. But
neither of our grandmas.
Yeah.
But maybe yours. The listener.
My mom uses it. My mom and dad, they love it because it's easy to use. So if we're talking about like worldview, because biblical worldview is what like we talk about on the show, because we're both youth pastors and we believe in Jesus and the Bible and all that stuff. And so when it comes to like core beliefs, what are those things? Because that's where I think the church messes up sometimes, right? And even our students, because hopefully we have a lot of students listening to this. Like there's things that you will be like, hey, I can make a compromise in this area when it's a thing that you shouldn't compromise on.
Yeah.
And you think, oh, I'll go to this party and there'll be some people there drinking, but I'm not going to drink.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, a lot of our students recently, like the whole smoking weed thing, like that's becoming...
Yeah, now they're it's getting, all out about.
Now it's getting legal.
Yeah. Well, here they are.
No, but now it's becoming legal in states and stuff. Like they're students right. Don't think it's that big of a deal anymore.
Yeah.
And so we even teach a class called Truth Talk. You taught it today.
Yeah.
But one of the questions...
Abstinence.
Yeah, abstinence. But one of the questions we asked some of the high school students is, would you date somebody that's smoking weed? Like, what would you do? And a lot of them are like, I just don't have it around me.
Yeah, it's a singular thing.
Yeah, and they don't think it's that bad. So I always followed up with, what if they were like smoking crack or doing meth? And they're like, well, that's crazy. I wouldn't date them then. Yeah. I'm like, okay, well... I was just seeing what level of illegal substance you're okay with. Because it's a compromise they make. They're like, okay, I'm okay with that. But if they take it even further, then it's going to be bad. But you're like, all right, where's the line here? Like, where you draw the line, not at illegal substance, but at what illegal substance it is.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I think the answer isn't necessarily to give you a list. This is how I look at it, actually. So I'll go at it as, how does this affect the relationship, right? What does this really do with my relationship with Jesus and with others?
Yeah.
Like how is drinking this drink affect my relationship?
Yeah. Is this going to help my relationship with these people? Because a lot of times that's what we base it on. Like teenagers have that need of acceptance.
Yeah.
And so they're going to do things that they normally wouldn't do to be accepted, right?
Yeah.
So how do we reverse that and say,
yeah,
like I'm going to do this thing to be accepted. And
hey, look, we have a special guest on the show. Guest. Just walked in. Mallory.
We're talking about compromises. You got to push really hard to close it.
Compromises.
So we're talking about core beliefs and versus things that you can compromise on. And so, because there's a lot of churches that are like, oh, if you don't believe in the King James Bible, then you're not a real church. Like there's churches that's where they make that compromise. So, and then there's other churches that are like, well, no, you can use whatever translation of the Bible. And
yeah.
But then, like, baptism, that's when, like, some churches say you have to fully dunk people underwater completely. And some are like, no, you can just sprinkle them. It's okay. And so what are those core beliefs, though? And not just for the Bible stuff, because, like, I mean, yeah, Jesus died. Like, God created the world. Jesus came, lived a sinless life, died, came back to life, and is coming again someday. I mean, that's, like, the very basic gospel. There's a lot more to it than that, but not a whole lot more, actually. So, but then in our lives, like, we make compromise on things. Mallory, how have you compromised in the last week?
yeah, tell us.
So, no, but are there things that you feel like teenagers compromise on to feel accepted?
Yeah, like the basic drugs.
The basic drugs? What are the basic drugs?
Like the basic, the basic things like drugs and alcohol. I don't know. Like, they compromise that because they want to be cool.
So, yeah. So, Mallory's a junior in high school this year. So, and she's also interning here, which is kind of cool. So,
is it just to be cool? Or, I mean, there's other stuff too. Like, I want to be valued, right? I want people to notice me.
Yeah.
I want to be, get attention.
Okay. So those are like the basic ones or whatever. Yeah. But what are some like smaller things? Because on this podcast, I don't know if you ever listened to it, but, no, Mallory's one of our great listeners. No, but like one of the things that like people compromise sometimes on are like movies that they watch or music they listen to, because like, do your parents have standards of what movies you can watch?
Kind of.
Define kind of.
What I mean by kind of is that, I mean, we have a relationship with my parents to where they, like, I know what I shouldn't be watching. And so I could compromise on that, but I mean, my parents obviously don't want us to watch certain movies, and we know that, but...
So, have they ever said, like, hey, don't watch our movies, or do they say...
I mean, yeah.
Okay.
We can't watch R-rated movies.
Yeah, but... so they set that standard. So, have you ever been at a friend's house where they, like, wanted to watch an R movie?
No.
What? Man, see, you got it easy, because when I was in high school, I was
allowed to watch R movies. No, I have it really easy. I have, like, three friends, and they all go to church.
I know. Basically. Well, no, my friends went to church, too. Like, we were all great friends, but they were allowed to watch our movies and I wasn't. So, like, I had to make those choices to make sure I didn't watch them. Like, there were times where I'd go in the other room and play video games.
So, would you tell them the truth that you couldn't watch it, or would you make up?
I want to go play video games. No, they knew. They knew I didn't. Okay. I couldn't watch our movies. So,
and they watched them anyway. Some friends they are.
I know. That's why they're on prison. kidding. They're dead. So, So yeah, but we're talking about Steve Jobs, how like now Apple's kind of compromising with the Apple Pencil a little bit, and they're not really compromising. It was a different time.
I mean, some people are saying it's compromised because they're saying, "Hey, look, he said no stylus. If you have a stylus, you're doing it wrong." And so they've taken a statement that's a 2010 statement and brought it over, but it only pertained to 2010 technology. It doesn't pertain to 2015 technology, and the way we interact with it has changed. So, I mean. If you look at the Christian belief, the way people interact now has changed. Like, people would say, no drums in church, right? Yeah. That's unbiblical, right? And they're like, how can you say, well, it doesn't, all right, electric guitar, it doesn't mention in the Bible, so we can't use that. And you're like, that's crazy because, I mean, yes, we believe that the Word of God is relevant for all time because it is eternal. But we also believe that it was written to certain people at a certain time, it's going to have cultural things in it.
Yes. Well, yeah, there's not going to be stuff about electricity because the Bible was around back then. So that's why the Amish...
Yeah.
Don't, you know, like, well.
And so you see that they aren't going to compromise. And slowly they have compromised more. Well, we can use a
cell phone. We can use cell phones because they're not plugged.
And we can ride in a car, just we can't drive it.
Yeah.
Are different things like that. And so you're seeing that they're slowly compromising on things.
Yeah.
As technology changes.
And, I mean, that's happening in, but when I think about, like, there was a pastor a while back that, like, was very prominent and had lots of great things to say and made great videos and people liked him, but then he came out and said, hey, I don't think there's a hell because a loving God wouldn't send people to hell. And you're like, wait, what? And so he, like, started making those compromises because the people around him were asking all these tough questions about whether hell existed or not, and then the more he thought about it, the more he thought, well, this is a compromise. Like, this is an area we can compromise in. Where I would say, no, you can't, because that's what separate. Like, we're separated from God. Without Christ, like we are separate from God.
Yeah. I think he tried to redefine really what hell is. He wouldn't deny. He's like, obviously you can live in hell each day. Just talk to the orphan or the widow in Africa. But I think he tried to redefine it and be like, well, God wouldn't keep you in that eternal place. But I was even thinking about this today because a friend of mine sent a picture of some people picketing at a church. Yeah, people picketing at a church? What? But it was in Cincinnati. I think it was probably a gay marriage. And so they were just picketing because this church was saying, hey, it's okay. So we're going to picket at your church. Only like five people. But
five people were picketing or five people showed up to the wedding?
Five people were picketing. No one showed up to the wedding. I'm kidding. I don't know. It's a picture from the outside.
Yeah.
But you see this. I mean,
it's slowly becoming more like culture. And that's, that's what, like, because there's different views on how Jesus approached culture. Like, did he go against culture? Was he always against culture? Or was he, like, in line with culture? Did he transform culture? Yeah. So I would say Christ transformed culture. Like, he would come in and say, hey, you've heard it said this, but I say this.
Yeah.
And so he kind of redefined what people thought about boundaries and about different, about divorce, about marriage, about raising your kids, like even loving your enemies. Like he came in and redefined. He's like, you've heard it said this, but I tell you this. And then it kind of like redefined it instead of saying, oh, well, people are like this. We want more people to come know me. So I'm going to compromise on some of my boundaries or whatever. Yeah. I don't see Jesus doing that. So
he said harsh things. He said, obviously the gate into the kingdom is narrow and few enter, and he's like, hey, if you don't deny yourself, if you don't hate your parents and everything else, then you can't. If you love anybody more than me, then you're not worthy
of me.
Hey, if anybody grabs a plow and looks back, you know what, you're not fit for the kingdom. So he says these intense things, of which he's like, I'm first and everything else is way behind that. And I mean, if we don't live that way, if we don't really truly follow him, then yeah, we are still separated. But I mean, we try to compromise to make it easier. But like, how can I get the best of both worlds?
So, yeah, and I want to continue on because this kind of goes along with this. But like, dating is a way that I think sometimes students compromise because, Mallory, how would you say students compromise? No, but I mean,
like, dating two guys at once.
You pointed at Mallory like she was doing that. Mallory?
No, I just put my hand up.
No.
Are you dating two guys at once?
No, I'm not dating anyone. No, like, there's this friend and he that I know, and he goes to another church, and he and his girlfriend were fighting because she was, like, telling him that he was stupid for believing in God. And so he, for a while, like, they broke up for a couple of days, and then he was like, just kidding, like, I still love you.
But and I don't believe God anymore.
No, he still believes in God, but he's compromising, like, standing up for his faith and, like, taking what she's saying because he loves her or whatever. Love.
Loves in quotes.
I guess we get to choose our love. That's the thing. I don't think people realize. I mean, you choose to love. And so, he's like, I'm in love, but you're choosing that love, and you don't have to love everything.
Right.
It's not like that's the only person, which is interesting because, I mean, I know they're not married. But I still believe students should date to marry. Like, you shouldn't date just to have fun. And I know that's really tough because nowadays we're like, well, I want all the pleasure from it, but I don't really like, I haven't thought about anything else. I just want the pleasure. I want pleasure all the time. And so with this that's unequally yoked. Mm-hmm. And so this friend, I would say he should read the Bible.
But have you guys heard of ghosting? I didn't know what this was until...
Is that where you follow somebody really close? Like your ghost movement? You don't do woo. You don't want them to realize you're there.
Oh.
You're just like super close. Like, I mean, like within inches.
Yeah, that's completely wrong. Okay, so ghosting is when you break up with somebody, but you don't tell them. So you become terrible. You become like a ghost. So
you don't tell them that you broke up?
So, like, So, I mean, I guess you could do this like the other day when I was supposed to go to the movies with James. If I wanted to ghost him, I just wouldn't have said anything. And he would have been like, hey, are you coming to the movie? And I didn't reply to him. I guess that's ghosting. But more people, like, so there's a famous couple, Sean Penn and Charlize Theron. I always say her name wrong. Is it Charlize. Charlize Theron. But so they were seen together a lot. But then all of a sudden, like, she stopped responding to his calls and texts and like wouldn't like respond or anything. So she started ghosting him. So a lot of people nowadays, it says that more and more people are doing this because they don't want the trauma of breaking up. So they just ignore the person.
Yeah. And it slowly fades away.
Yeah. And you're just like, ah. And so they get ghosted because you pretend you're a ghost. But they said social media makes this even tougher because you see them active on social media, but they won't respond to you. Or it's like, say anything back. Like, I know you're there. I can see.
Yeah. I can see you're online.
You just posted a picture of Chuck E. Cheese. I'm coming there. Like, yeah. And so, but yeah, it said more and more people are doing it. Like this one lady was like, I was hanging out with this guy. They were casually dating for 8 months. And so then she like texts him or whatever, and like he doesn't respond. Like she invited him to something, he never responded. And then like she finds out later that he's been dating somebody else. And so, yeah. Then they're like, this one lady was like seeing this guy for a while, and then like never saw him. And then like he shows up in the same apartment. Like he's living with this other girl in the apartment, and he's like. She's like, he won't even talk to me, like, in the hall. Like, I see him, and he just, like, ignores me, like, I'm not even real. And so you're like, ah, am I a ghost?
That just makes you want to, like, do something crazy.
I should have just lit him on fire. Don't do that. Okay, but, so technology, it says, like, has made this easier to do. Because before, like, you would date people in your proximity or whatever.
Yeah.
And so... I mean, yeah, there was phone calls and stuff of a long distance relationship, but now like with like texting and all that stuff, like you can easily keep up with somebody, and then they just start ignoring you, and you're like, "Why are you ignoring me?" And
I mean, like it is like most of your relationships. How much is it texting? Like you substitute, like for instance, Mackenzie and I, we date, right? But it'd be very easy to ghost each other because. Yeah. I mean, come on, we're like 4 hours away, and so much of our relationship is dependent on technology. So, but yeah.
Mal, have you ever ghosted anybody?
No.
She's not going to admit it. It doesn't have to be like a guy. Like, it could just be, because,
yeah.
But ghosting is like, it's like almost a permanent thing, like where you don't ever write them back or...
No. I don't think so.
Like, oh man, there's somebody who listens to this, like, you ghosted me. You're like, no, I'm not talking to that person.
Defriend.
Yeah, but I mean, sometimes like I won't respond to a message right away or
Been people who I don't like.
Uh-oh. How about this? You unfriend some, like you slowly cut those ties, right? You don't answer their texts anymore, but you also like defriended them.
Oh yeah,
and you deleted them from all your social media. I mean, is it fall in the ghosting? You're just like, all right, I'm cutting everything.
Well, yeah, but that... So I think ghosting is more like you have a relationship with the person. Like, you're communicating, like, somewhat. So they were saying, like, if it's, like, a casual, like... Somebody said if it's more than 3 times, you've been on a couple of dates and you don't respond anymore, then you're kind of like, okay, that didn't work out. But if it's, like, a longer-term thing, like, these person, like 7 or 8 months that they've been, like, hanging out, and all of a sudden, like, you get no phone calls, they're like...
It's just really rude.
Yeah, it's rude, but like our technology has allowed us to do that, and there's what?
That's mean.
It is, but James, you said what'd you say about you said something I forgot what it was
about Mackenzie and I.
No,
about cutting the ties.
No, I don't even remember. It was a good point. I don't know. Wow. So
just rewind it if you guys want to hear it again.
James made a good point about something. It was something about technology, but I don't know. So
what, so don't being go so with... dependent on technology.
I don't know. It's gone. So but yeah, but it's easy to get into this like idea of I don't have to respond to this person. And you don't feel guilty. Like, you don't want to go through the pain of breaking up. But it's really immature. Like, it's not a mature issue if I'm going to just, I'm ignoring this person. Like, you've got to deal with it. So listen, people, deal with your problems. Don't just...
Well, that's because we don't want conflict.
Right. We want to avoid conflict.
Yeah.
I preached on that this weekend.
Yeah,
I
got to preach
this weekend. So.
Then you got to fight with somebody afterwards in a parking lot.
Knifed him. we talked about conflict because we usually approach conflict one or two ways. We either yell and get really mad or like try to anger the other person, or we just ignore it and hope that it goes away. But we learned this week that conflict doesn't resolve itself. And so even when you're ghosting somebody, Like the fact that that person moved to the same, because they were in separate cities, and they end up living in the same city in the same apartment. Crazy, but it's like, okay, you got to deal with the issue. Like it, now it's even more awkward because you didn't deal with it. If you would have dealt with it, be like, hey, you know what? This isn't working out. What's be done?
Yeah.
Instead, and so, but here's the other thing, and this is, I think you talked about, the pleasure in the relationship. Like you, like dating relationships have become what marriage should be, right? Like people, we'll just say it, premarital sex. Because when that is involved in the relationship, that's what one of these people said. Like they said, she said they lived together for 6 months, and then like they moved apart for jobs or whatever, and then like he stopped calling her. But you're like, so you have that emotional connection, and so you have that tie there that when they start ghosting you or whatever, like there's that emotional, like, what did I do? And so you try to fix it, but there's no resolution. And so you feel even worse about it because you're like, did I do something? Why are they ignoring me?
Yeah.
And so,
well, I mean, one of the things I think, and that's happened, if you look, I think that's a gradual thing over time, because we've replaced our values and our virtues with our seeking for pleasure. Like, I would rather have pleasure over virtue. I don't always get pleasure out of virtue, but I do get pleasure out of doing these things, which might compromise my virtues. Okay. But if you look, we're in a greater pursuit for pleasure
than we've ever been.
Yeah, I think so. And I look for that high. I've got to get high. I mean, I've got to be texting. I've got to be doing this. I've got to be feeling this way. Instant gratification has become, I mean, more and more and more. I can't wait for next year's iPhone. I can't. I literally can't. Like,
But you personally, or are you just saying people?
No, I'm just saying people. You know, this next game, right? You were waiting for a game.
Taking game that came out last night.
You're like, ah, why can't it just be instant?
I know. I had a great debate in my head last night. Should I watch Maggie or play The Taken King? And I,
now, he's not talking about the movie. He's talking about his niece. Should I watch Maggie?
Yeah, and I was like, well, I probably should babysit her. I played video games and climbed on the roof. I did. So I ended up watching Maggie because I knew I wanted to talk about it on the show. I was like, I'm going to watch. Have you seen Maggie? It's an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie about a zombie girl. Okay.
Why am I not surprised?
His daughter slowly turns into a zombie.
You don't like zombie movies, do you?
So,
no.
So don't ghost people. Like, have the mature conversation. Yeah. Like, what
is that? So mean.
It is mean. And it shows maturity if you're able to have those conversations. Okay, if I can just say this. If you're not mature enough to have a conversation with somebody to break up with them, you're not mature enough to date.
Mm-hmm.
So, these people are like 27 and 28 that are ghosting people. Don't ghost people. Okay. Mallory, what would you do if you walked out of your house today, in your backyard, there's a bear sleeping back in your backyard?
I'd probably scream.
Wait, that would wake the bear up!
But it would be my first instinct. I probably... Oh, okay, and I'd try and run away, but that wouldn't work out too well because I can't really run. And then get in a car.
She has wheels for feet. She's got wheelies on her shoes.
No. It wouldn't be the bear that would get her. She just can't run.
Exactly. Right?
She'd be like, ah! Oh!
I just fought the bear.
She's frozen, right?
Like the bear's like in the back corner of her backyard. She's like, I'm going closer to it. I can't. She's running towards the bear.
This is weird.
Yeah. That'd be a great YouTube video of Mallory trying to run from a bear and runs towards it and like falls on it.
No, I'd get away in the end. Get into a car and drive away and then probably call, I don't know who, 911. Animal control, there you go.
James, you kind of live near woods. What would you do if a bear showed up here? He comes out of the lake.
I'm like, oh my gosh.
So it's time for Florida Foilables. Because, so we know that there's a bear problem in Florida.
There's lots of bears.
Did you know that?
I did not.
If you listen to our show, you know that because we talk about bears in Florida quite a bit. So this bear got into somebody's garage, ate a 20-pound bag of dog food, and then walks out and like falls asleep in the front yard of this other person. So it's this bear sleeping, and this guy's like trying to record it, and he just starts laughing because like the bear is acting like him on Thanksgiving. Like after you eat a bunch, he's like, the bear's like laying there, and he's like, ah, he's like moaning and like flipping over and tossing and turning. He's like trying to sleep, but he's so full, he's like just miserable full, and he's trying to sleep it off. And he's like, he said, the flustered woman immediately called her neighbor to help with the situation. He took photos of the bear but started cracking up after noticing how much of the resemblance the dozing animal has with lazy humans. So he's just like, this bear is like stretched out on this person's lawn sleeping. So That's what. So bears. I'm terrified of bears. I've told that story. That
most people should be terrified of bears. I don't know.
So you know. So Florida, there's another reason why you probably shouldn't move there. Like, they just fall asleep in people's front yards. I would freak out. Okay, real quick, it's time for
Goes the culture.
Pop Goes the Culture. So, Mallory, you know what the number one movie was this week?
No.
What?
Maze Runner, Scorched Earth.
Oh, was that even good?
I don't know.
I don't know. The first one wasn't very good.
Oh. I liked the first one.
Oh, did you read the book?
I did read the book.
And you liked the movie?
Well, you can't compare the two, really.
Oh, yeah, you can't.
No.
Yeah,
because one's a book and one's a movie. You'll ruin it for yourself.
I'm drinking water, but the cup tastes like smells like syrup. Okay, so you didn't like the first one?
No, I didn't like the first one.
The Scorched Trials guy, I want to get on Rotten Tomatoes. I don't even know. So, it didn't do great. It got
50%.
Like 50%. So
50% of the people like
half good, half bad. Black Mass was number two, which is that movie about like some mob guy or whatever.
Yeah.
And then number three was
The Visit.
The Visit, which James saw this week. Have you seen The Visit? Are you a scary movie fan?
No.
You won't go.
I hate scary movies.
Okay. Well, you wouldn't like this. So, but I think it got sixth or eighth. I don't remember. Was War Room.
Yeah.
But the interesting fact about War Room, so have you seen War Room?
No, I have not.
What? Okay, so War Room was sixth, yeah. But it opened, like, it went up by 298 theaters, which is crazy. So what that means is they showed it in 298 more theaters than they showed it the previous week. So this past week, they showed it in more theaters than they have. Like, most of the other movies, like, drop a bunch. Like, there's some independent movies that came out that were added to, but most of them, like, some, like, The Visit went up to 79 theaters. The Perfect Guy was added to 9. Most either stayed the same or dropped a lot. Mission Impossible Rogue Nation was taken out of 447 theaters.
Wow. That was a good movie.
So, yeah, but it's been out a long time. So, at this point, they're making way for new movies. So, but War Room was added to 298 theaters, which is great. So, it was really good.
Yeah.
The movie Captive. Did we talk about that last week? So, it's it's kind of, it's about the purpose-driven life, the book. So the storyline is this lady that's, like, addicted to meth. I think she has a kid.
Yeah.
Somebody invites her to a Celebrate Recovery, which is a, like, a Christian-based AA type thing. So, so she goes, and this lady gives her a purpose-driven life book, and she gets home and is like, this is stupid, throws it in the trash. But the friend comes over and picks it out of the trash or whatever. Then this dude shows up and, like, he was accused of something, is in the courtroom. There, he knows the trial's not going to go in his favor, but he's like, I didn't do this. And so he ends up, like, killing four people in the courtroom to escape. That's not good. It makes you look guilty. And so he's hiding out, and he goes to this lady's house and starts hiding out with her. It starts telling her his story. And then she starts reading The Purpose-Driven Life to him, and they all get saved.
Wow.
But so,
happily ever after. He doesn't go to jail.
So I don't know. I actually don't know what happens. But so that's the plot of the movie, which sounds crazy, but it's based on a true, like, this really happened. Yeah, so
he really killed four people.
Yeah, that's
did
what.
Did he go to jail?
I don't know. I don't know the end of this movie. You got to go watch it. Go watch Captain.
Well, it was a true story.
So, I was reading the thing, I'm plugged in the review, and they're like talking about it. He's like, this sounds like a crazy, like, Christian movie set up. He's like, but this is, like, all, like, if this wasn't an actual, like, news story that happened, like, people wouldn't believe this. And so, the main star of it, one of them, is David Oyelowo, if I'm saying that right. So, do you know who he is?
No,
you know David Oyelowo. So he's the guy that plays Martin Luther King Jr. In Selma. And so he's been in some other stuff. But here's what he says. So this was from Cultural Clips on Plugged In. It says, yes, I am a Christian myself, but I'm not particularly interested in, quote, unquote, preaching to the choir. I'm a big believer in the potency of artistic endeavor at its highest. To proselytize through your storytelling is not good storytelling. And so that was that in an interview? This was a quote from him. So, but this is, we talk about this on the show a lot because there's cheesy Christian movies that people are like, oh, these are great movies. And they do have great messages, but, like, the acting's not as good. Like, the storytelling isn't always great. Sometimes it is. Like, especially when it's based on a true story. That's when you get, like, some good stories behind it. But he said, like, your storytelling, like, if you're throwing the message out in your storytelling is not good storytelling. The story should speak for itself. And so that's, I think, what we've tried to say on this show. We probably said it in a more negative way, and people have been mad at us, but that's what's happening. All right, Muppet Show's coming back. Mallory?
I hate the Muppets.
Wow!
What? I cannot stand them.
Why?
I don't know. First of all, I don't know if it was from whatever movie, the Muppet or the Man song. Ridiculous.
Are you a Muppet or a man?
That's just, I don't like puppets. I don't like them at all.
Do you have a fear of puppets?
No, I don't have a fear of them.
Homer Simpson hates sock puppets.
I think they're kind of creepy and not needed.
Puppets aren't needed.
They're not needed.
I mean, I would love to, like, I would love if the Muppets, like, listen to this show, and then there's, like, they're, like, on the first Muppet show, they're, like, crying, as Mallory quotes, like, puppets aren't needed. But so, it's on ABC, but here, like, so the tagline, it says, finally, a network TV show with full frontal nudity, because Muppets don't wear clothes, or some of them don't. Kermit has never worn clothes. And so they're trying to push it more. Because I watched the Muppets growing up, and they're hilarious. Like, they were really good. They were funny. But I guess they were, like, in the 70s. Did I watch reruns then? Because I wasn't alive in the 70s. I don't know. So they're talking about, like, this reboot is more of an adult Muppet show. And, like, Miss Piggy announced that she was pro-choice on a recent MSNBC appearance. And then there's a quote, at a time when more and more... this is from Fox News commentator Eric Erickson. He said, at a time when more and more parents are concerned about family-oriented television, we get a puppet character loved by kids weighing in on abortion. So, I don't know. I mean, I think I was excited about the Muppets coming back, and now I'm like, oh, why?
Not anymore.
They're making compromises. Jim Henson, the founder of Muppets, I don't know if he'd be happy with this.
He's rolling in his grave.
He is. He's like, why am I in this box? Why? I don't know. I like the Muppets. Muppets are funny. They are funny. So, but here's the thing. You didn't grow up on, like, the real Muppets. Yeah, I didn't grow up on any Muppets. The Muppet Man show or whatever.
It was from the Muppets movie where he sings the song about
The Muppets movie isn't that great. It's okay.
I didn't even watch the old Muppet movie. But the previews were terrible.
Yeah, the old Muppet movie stuff is great.
Yeah, it is.
It's not easy being green. Oh, Muppet Christmas Carol is my favorite Christmas movie. Have you ever seen the Muppet Christmas Carol?
No, I have not.
You haven't seen it?
No.
It's a wonderful life. Hold on. You've got to see It's a Muppet Christmas Carol. That'll completely change your view about if puppets are useless. So it's really good. Muppet Christmas Carol is the best Christmas movie you'll see. What's your favorite Christmas movie?
It's a Wonderful Life.
No, I don't even think I've seen It's a Wonderful
Life. What? Oh my gosh. Kids these days.
Probably.
Polar Express.
No.
Elf.
What? Elf or the Grinch.
Wait.
Home Alone 1.
Oh, Home Alone 1's good. They're bringing Home Alone 1 back in the... Home Alone 1 is coming back in theaters this year.
Home Alone 2?
That one was okay. The third and the fourth one were really bad.
Well, yeah. Home Alone 2 is better because it's in the city, according to James. Anytime something's in the city, James loves it.
It, like, took it to another level.
That's why Babe 2, Pig in the City, is James' favorite movie of all time. What was the other movie that you... Was it Batman? Like, Batman's in the city. It's better. I don't know. You're obsessed with the city. I don't know why.
I'm not as obsessed as you, McNeil.
No, you said, Home Alone 2's better because it's in the city. There's several movies that you listed that are, like, better because they're in the city. You're weird. Okay. All right. Jimmy Fallon fan?
You guys like
Jimmy Fallon. Okay. So, Jay Leno talking about the late night landscape. He said Seth Meyers, Jimmy Fallon. And he's like, I think Stephen Colbert will be good. But he talked about... He said their comedy is funny and builds people up. And he said the most important element you can have in doing a late night show is kindness. Mm. He said because the show makes you arrogant. So, like, because you
make fun of people, make them laugh.
You put other people down. Uh-huh. And you also, like, I mean, if you're good at it, which Jimmy Fallon is great at it, he said he's... Like, I mean, he's killing it in the ratings right now. But yeah, but he can make you arrogant because you become friends with all these celebrities. You get to see all the movies first. You get all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And so he said, I think that's Jimmy Kimmel's problem. I think he's a talented guy. I think he's funny. But he has a mean streak and it comes across. He does this thing where he takes Halloween candy from kids and the kids cry. Mm-hmm. What am I missing here? It's funny, I guess, but it's mean based. I think that's why he's not higher in the ratings. That's what I never thought about it, because I've seen that bit, and it's really funny.
Yeah. I think it's fine. I'd do that.
Oh, I'm all for being mean to children. So
taking their candy. You're here first, people.
So that's interesting, because he said his comedy is kind of more arrogant and more, like, he's mean. He's mean-based. And so he said, I don't think people like him as much because, I felt that way about.
Is that true?
I guess so. I don't really watch Jimmy Kimmel because, like, I see previews and clips and he's not that funny.
Because he's mean-based.
Sure.
What about Letterman? Did you ever watch Letterman?
No.
I thought Letterman was mean. Yeah.
When I was younger, I was not staying up that late to watch him.
That's true. Well, Letterman just went off the air.
Well, I didn't know
that. Okay. I think it's interesting that he said that because I love comedy. And I know, because there's arrogant comedians where you watch them and you're I don't necessarily like you. But the ones that are
stand-up comedian, what's that stand-up show?
Last Comic Standing, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you'll have those people where they'll try to give them advice, and then they get all like,
"Oh yeah,
I'm better." Like, I don't need. Who are you to be talking to me? And you're
they're getting from comedy legends, like giving them advice.
Yeah, and they're like, "Wait a second, you haven't made it. They have."
Yeah, there's a reason that you're doing your comedy for them and not the opposite way. And they're like, "Well, but yeah, a lot of them, and the ones that won were like, oh, that was great advice, and I took it and I listened to it." So, all right. So, if you're gonna be funny. Do it nice. To build others up, instead of tearing them down. And so, James, any closing thoughts? Is there something we didn't talk about that we're supposed to? I don't even know.
Nope.
Mallory, what are your thoughts?
Thoughts with Mallory.
So, the Scorched Trials, you don't care about it because you
didn't like the Maze Runner. I'll watch it, but I...
Did you like the Maze Runner book?
Yes.
What about, I haven't read Scorched Trials yet.
I did not read that either.
Do you like the Hunger Games?
Yes.
Book?
When's Hunger Games movie?
The week before... Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Is when it comes out.
So, all right. Mallory, if you could, you're talking to millions of people right now.
Okay.
What do you want to say to them about their worldview? What do you want to say to them in general? You can say anything.
I don't know.
Great advice from Mallory Smolin. You heard it here first. Thanks for tuning in. We probably can't talk about it, but we want to say thanks again to Trevor Ryan, who makes our intro and outro music. Forgot about that. So
he's awesome. Hopefully he'll give us some new stuff.
Why? We want new stuff.
Because we're always changing. Maybe, we're 25.
We're 25. So we want to thank him. You can find his stuff on Like Lions on SoundCloud. So check him out. All right. Thanks again. Congratulations again to Benjamin. Winning.
Yes. We are going to have you on the show.
He's going to be a guest sometimes.
You can be 50 if you want.
I can shoot 25 more weeks. That's going
to
be a long time.
It's up to you.
You can be on whenever you want. All right. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Magic.
Podcast.